Welcome back to THOP, the half hour of power with Beastchild, and today is Monday, so you get to start your week off with a nice recap of this past weekend's games in the NFL. Let's get right to it with Beastchild and the NFL Review Show. Get into the recap of all the hard-hitting action this weekend, let me give you the four ways to get in contact with the show. Send your emails to beastchild09@gmail.com. Add beastchild on Skype, BEASTCHILD09 on Skype. Or add the show on MySpace, myspace.com/the_half_hour_of_power. Or, of course, the almighty website, thehalfhourofpower.googlepages.com. thehalfhourofpower.googlepages.com. Now let's get right into the gridiron with the recap from this past weekend's games. Yes, I am back, Beastchild, back with Season 1, Episode 56, the NFL Week 5 Review. And this week, I mean, it was kind of crazy. It was beautiful for me and my picks, but some fun stats here. 3 teams were held to 3 points or less, and 4 games were won by 3 points or less, and that was in the morning and afternoon games, obviously not including the Sunday night game, and so we will get to those right now. So we start off in Houston, where the Dolphins come in to face the Texans. Dolphins looking for their first victory in 2007. Well, Ron Dayne got it started early with a 1-yard touchdown run, 8:47 left in the first quarter when he did that. But unfortunately for the Houston Texans, that would be the only offensive touchdown they would score in the rest of the game. Jay Feely kicked the 23-yarder, and then Ronnie Brown ran in for 3 yards on a touchdown, and that would be the only Dolphin touchdown in the game. So, 2 touchdowns in the first quarter, and those would be the only 2. Jay Feely, Chris Brown, Chris Brown, Chris Brown, Jay Feely, Chris Brown, Chris Brown. Look at Chris Brown's field goal length on his kicks, 54, 43, 54, 2 54s, then another 48, then a little 20-yarder, and a 57-yarder with 1 second left to win the game. 54, 54, 57, Chris Brown, a career day for the kicker in Houston. And over on the other side, Jay Feely went 4 for 4, his long was a 48-yarder. Let's talk about some stats. Well, Cleo Lemon came in for an injured Trent Green, who tried to throw a block on a reverse. He took a knee to the head, and we still don't know how long he's going to be out. He did not return the game. Cleo Lemon finished out the game, 151 through the air and a pick. No touchdowns for him. Obviously, no touchdowns for Matt Schaub. Matt Schaub, 294 through the air, and I do believe he led the league. Or at least he did up until Sunday Night Football, but we'll get to that later. So, Ron Day on the ground, 40 yards, he led the team. And on the other side, Ronnie Brown, he led the league in rushing before Michael Turner stepped on the field, but we'll get to that game in a moment. So, overall, Texans win 22-19 on a 57 game winner from Chris Brown, the beastly kicker. So that was that. Let's move on to the next game, Cleveland and New England. By the way, I picked the Texans to win, and I was right. That game was won by 3 points, a game winner. So, New England Patriots, Cleveland Browns. Patriots put up 38, 38, 38 in their first 3 games. Last week, 34 on Monday night, and this week, they put up 34. Okay, we knew they were going to do it. But would the Cleveland Browns be able to score, what, 5 or 6 touchdowns to beat this team? Let's see. Well, Tom Brady, 3 touchdowns, 265 through the air. But 107 of them went to Ben Watson, and Randy Moss, only 46 yards on the day. Stallworth even passed it. He had a touchdown, but first quarter, it was all Patriots. 10-0 at the end of the first quarter, and that was because of 2 Derek Anderson picks, one of them in the end zone, both of them off of tipped passes. So now we move to the second quarter, where the Patriots put up another 10 points, 20-0 at half. Then Cleveland gets a field goal in the third quarter, 20-3 going into the fourth quarter. Each team would have two touchdowns in the fourth, and that would put the final score at 34-17. And a thing to note here, Braylon Edwards, 110 through the air, and he is the beast that we expected in preseason in fantasy football, the sleeper that everyone was saying. He is who we thought he was. They are who we thought they were. So, Braylon Edwards, I mean, he's just getting the job done. Derek Anderson, 287 through the air, two touchdowns, but the key there, two picks, one of them in the end, in the red zone, and one of them to Asante Samuel as they were driving. So, if Derek Anderson can just limit the mistakes, we know what this team's capable of, putting up 51 points against the Cincinnati Bengals. And so the Patriots, I mean, what we expected. They had three interceptions in this game, two by Junior Seau, and that's what you're going to come to see. Randall Gay had a fumble. He had the trifecta. He forced a fumble, picked it up, and took it to the house, and that was what sealed the deal in the end, a 15-yard fumble return to the house, and that gave the Patriots, once again, 34-17, and may I add, I was correct on predicting that game. I picked the Patriots to win, as everyone did, in what some people called a trap game. But let's move on to the Saints and the Panthers. The Saints also looking for their first victory. Would they get it at home against a division rival coming off a bye? Well, each team had a field goal in the first quarter, and each team had a field goal in the second quarter. So, 6-6 at half. Mike Carney gets the only Saints touchdown in the third quarter. It was a 2-yard run. And Steve Smith gets the only Panthers touchdown in the fourth quarter on a David Carr 17-yard pass. But, in the end, a 52-yarder, John Casey puts it through, and they win the game as time expires on the road. The Saints move to 0-4, and, you know, I mean, it's not too pretty down there in New Orleans, Louisiana, but the Panthers trying to stay on top in that division, and we'll see how the Buccaneers did, and we'll see if they're competing. But let's talk about Davey Carr. He got injured in, the first quarter of this game after he got it started, but then the rookie Matt Moore came in, threw a couple passes, and then Davey Carr came back, touchdown on the pick later. They win the game. On the ground, 59 yards for Deshaun Foster. On the other side, Reggie Bush, 67 yards. He got 21 carries. He got the load that we expected without Deuce McAllister being there, but in the end, Drew Brees, two picks. I mean, Drew Brees just not looking good. One of them to the safety Harris, who took it back pretty deep, and that's what set up the Steve Smith touchdown, and that was what ended up winning the game for the Panthers. So the final score here, 16-13, which, may I add, I predicted correctly, but that's just me. I mean, that's just the beast that I am. So let's move on to the next game. Battle of the New York teams. It's the Jets, Jets versus the New York G-Men. This game being played in New Jersey, the Meadowlands, Giants Stadium. Technically, the Giants are our home team, but what would happen here? Would that home field advantage prove to be what they wanted? So, early in the game, Brandon Jacobs, left tackle, Kerry Rhodes forces the fumble, he picks it up, and the trifecta for him, 11-yard touchdown on the fumble. That puts the Jets up 7-0. That's the only scoring in the first quarter. Then Derek Ward, an 8-yard touchdown run. Brad Smith, a 16-yard touchdown reception, and a Mike Nugent field goal makes the score 17-7 at half. Eli Manning throws a costly interception late in the first half. Eli Manning throws a pick, and it was meaningless, and it ended up giving the Jets a 17-7 advantage. But would that prove to be valuable in this game? Well, with Leon Washington's 98-yard kick return to the house, that would be the only scoring the Jets would have in the second half, giving them a score of 24 points. On the other side, the Giants would score 1, 2, 3, 4 touchdowns in the second half. And it started off with Brandon Jacobs, then Jeremy Shockey got one from Eli Manning, Plaxico Burress danced into the end zone on a 53-yard bomb, and Aaron Ross, the rookie, got his second pick of the day, 43-yard interception return. This one was for a touchdown, seals the deal, 35-24, which, may I add, I predicted and was correct. Thomas Jones, 36 yards on the ground, Brandon Jacobs, a perfect 100 yards on 20 attempts, one touchdown. His long was 19, so you could tell he was chugging by, and Derek Ward, 56 on the ground, pretty good day for him, but he did get that touchdown. Only 9 was the long for him, so he was also getting it done on the ground, keeping that clock moving. Down on the receiving end of it, 124 for Plaxico Burress, who hasn't practiced since mid-June, but he goes out there and he gets the job done. He had a touchdown, so did Jeremy Shockey, as I said. And that is that, 35-24, the final score in New York, or I guess you'd say in New Jersey, between these two New York teams. So, with that, we move on to the Pittsburgh Steelers and the Seattle Seahawks. Rematch of Super Bowl 40. And what would happen here? Well, let me give you some quick stats, and I think you can decide who won. 40 minutes of possession for the Steelers, 19 for the Seahawks, 342 net yards for the Steelers, 114 for the Seahawks, 0 turnovers by the Steelers. I picked the Steelers to win. Guess what happened? It was a 21-0 shellacking. Sean Alexander held to 25 yards on the ground. Matt Hasselbeck, 116 through the air. Nothing to it. Brandon Abayu, never even heard of him, but the guy had 38 yards through the air on 2 receptions, and he led the team. Over on the other side, not too much better. Cedric Wilson had 69 yards, he led the team, but Najee Davenport, 2 touchdowns on the ground. Keith Miller had 1 in the first half. And that was that 21-0. The Steelers topped the Seahawks in a game that was having technical difficulties on the television. But, you know, I watched what I could. And if I were a Seahawks fan, I would have used that as my excuse to not watch the game. 21-0. I was dead on with that prediction as well. So with that, let's move on to St. Louis, Missouri, where the Rams host the Cardinals. The Cardinals move to 3-2 after this game because they beat the Rams, who are 0-5. 34-31, the final score in St. Louis. I picked this game, and I was on the money. 34-31, a game won by a field goal. Larry Fitzgerald showing up to the game in place of his injured teammate, Anquan Boldin. He got 136 through the air and a touchdown. Kurt Warner had 190 through the air. Matt Leinart had 100, a touchdown, and a pick for each of them. So, 200-yard passers. I don't know, Ken Whisenhunt, you're kind of crazy, but what can I say? You're winning. Field goal for each team in the first quarter made the score 6-6 at the end of the first, but then it was all Cardinals. Drew Bennett, sure, he got a touchdown pass, but Reggie Wells gets a touchdown on what was a Edgerrin James fumble at the 1-yard line. Then Kurt Warner with a QB sneak as time expires in the first half. Then Torrey Holt gets an 11-yard touchdown. Neil Rackers barely puts one through the uprights. Roderick Hood, 68-yard interception return to the house off of a Gus Bradt pass. Ill-advised. The guy jumped the route. Larry Fitzgerald gets a 7-yard touchdown pass from Kurt Warner, and trying to catch up at the end there, the Rams get a 29-yard pass to Randy McMichael, and that was it. They couldn't get the onside kick. It landed in Fitzgerald's hands, and 34-31, the final score in St. Louis, Missouri. 11 points for the Rams in the fourth quarter. Wasn't enough to the Cardinals 14. So, what can I say? Gus Bradt comes in, maybe he'll produce a spark, but 3 touchdowns and 3 picks, and that was the difference. If he hadn't thrown, well, one of those picks was taken back to the house, so that was Roderick Hood. But he had one to Adrian Wilson, which was taken back. It was, they were driving, and they were, what, inside the 30 of attacking, and he throws a pick. Adrian Wilson takes it back to the 40-yard line of the Rams, and that sets up Neil Rackers' kick, and what can I say, they won by 3, and that was the difference. So Gus Bradt, he's a veteran, but he had a full week to practice. I guess it wasn't enough. Rams lose, and they go to 0-5. Oh, by the way, I picked the Cardinals in that game. So now we go to Washington, D.C., where the Redskins host the Lions in an interesting stat that the Lions had never won in Washington before this game. And we'll see if they would win their first game. Chris Cooley started the game off with a 7-yard reception from Jason Campbell. Mike Sellers, a 1-yard run, but, I mean, you have to watch the highlights, because this guy's a beast. The fullback, Mike Sellers, just running people over, and you should have seen him on one of the receptions. And so that puts the first half score at 14-0, Washington lead. Then the Detroit Lions finally get on the board with a Jason Hansen 39-yard field goal. That would be the only points they would score in the game, was that 35-yarder. John Kitna would be sacked in the end zone for a safety. Mike Sellers, another 8-yard touchdown reception, a field goal, and a Carlos Rogers 61-yard touchdown scamper on the interception would seal the deal. 34-3, Redskins playing Patriot games with the 34 points. 34-3 the final score, they win by 31 points at home. Mike Sellers, 24 yards on the ground, and 36 through the air. This guy's a fullback, but, I mean, he's a beast. If he's a weapon, Joe Gibbs will get him the ball. Antoine Randall-El, 100 yards through the air, a perfect century mark on 7 receptions. 37 was his long, and that was the longest play of the game, except for that pick that went to the house. Clint Porter, 72 yards on the ground, pretty good for him. 248 through the air for Jason Campbell. He was 23 for 29, a very good completion rating there, and 2 touchdowns. Both quarterbacks, John Kitna and Jason Campbell, attempted 29 yards, but Campbell threw 2 touchdowns, Kitna threw 2 picks. And that, you can tell right there which team's going to win, the guy with 2 touchdowns or the guy with 2 picks. And that's that. Kevin Jones, He led the team in rushing, only 48 yards for him. So, each stat you look at comparing these two teams, you can tell who won. So, let's move to a more interesting game, one that was a little bit closer. Oh, by the way, I picked the Redskins to win, and that's just the beast that I am. So now, let's go to Tennessee, where the Tennessee Titans host the ATL Falcons. The Falcons coming in, they are struggling. They are 1-3, and the Tennessee Titans are 2-1. Both of these teams kind of looking to get out of the bottom of their division, trying to compete with the top guys. Tennessee trying to compete with Indianapolis, and the Atlanta Falcons trying to compete up there with the Buccaneers and the Panthers. Buccaneers, who we will get to in a moment, and Panthers, who we know won. So, what would happen here? Let's go to the box score, where we see that Vince Young, just BY10, the beast that he is, did not come to play, and that's just, what can I say? The guy's a beast, but 0 touchdowns, 3 picks for the sophomore out of Texas. So, it starts off with a Lindell White right tackle run, and he fumbles. D'Angelo Hall, the ball bounces right into Hall's hands. He takes it 56 yards to the house on the fumble. That puts the score 7-0. Chris Brown gets a 3-yard run on the shotgun draw. 7-7 end of the first. Field goal by each team in the second quarter. 10-10 at half. Morton Anderson hits a 28-yard field goal, but that would be the only field goal he would hit, missing one key one, and Conan also missing 2 field goals in this game. But it was Rob Baronis with a 40-yarder, and that put the score at 13-13 in the late in the third quarter. But Harrington drops back to pass. He throws a pick, and it's Vincent Fuller who takes the INT back 76 yards to the house. That was the game winner. It was the final score there, 20-13. Vincent Fuller, 76 yards. And that game, may I add, I predicted correctly. But that's just me. That's just the beast inside. And so 20-13, the final score in Tennessee. And Vince Young, as I said, struggling in this game. 157 through the air, no touchdowns, 3 INTs. Harrington and Leftwich did see some action, but only 8 attempts, 2 completions. 28 yards for him. On the ground, Pinner, a 49-yard run. He led the team. He had one run, 49 yards, and he had 49 yards, obviously, on the ground, and he led the team. Warwick Dunn held to 27. Jarius Norwood held to 23, and, it was on a fake punt. They snapped it directly to the fullback. Fullback ran left, handed off to Atros Pinner, and he took it 49 yards. It was a beautiful play, and I'll talk about that more in my topics and opinions show, kind of taking more risks, but Atros Pinner takes it 49 yards, and he leads the team. That's that. On the other side, Lindell White, 32 yards on the ground. He led the team there. And 27 for Chris Brown. So, as you can see, not too much rushing here. As far as throwing, Brandon Jones led the team, 36 yards receiving, and Eric Mullins had 31. And on the other side, Roddy White had 55. So, what does this mean? Well, neither of these offenses were doing too much, and you can tell by the score, 20-13, the game-winning touchdown coming on an INT. So, let's move to Kansas City, where the Chiefs hosted the Jacksonville Jaguars. And this, my friends, will be the first game that's how we get wrong. It was unfortunate. I picked the Chiefs because Damon Heward, 7-0 at home, and the Jaguars, they're in and out of their good play. But this was the week that they were kind of on the upswing of the pendulum of the yo-yo, if I may. And it was pretty obvious. Kearney put them on the board first, 20-yard field goal, and then Maurice Jones-Drew, a 52-yard scamper. He takes the right tackle handoff, breaks free, and then he's got a safety on. He fakes to the inside, safety turns his head, kind of dives that way and falls over, and he just takes it 52 yards to the house, putting the halftime score at 10-0, Jaguars lead. No scoring in the third quarter, but Dennis Northcutt would get a 3-yard touchdown pass from David Garrard, giving them a touchdown. And down by 3, Sammy Parker would score a 13-yard field goal, would score a 13-yard touchdown pass from Brody Croyle, who came in to replace the injured Damon Heward. Nothing serious for Heward, but Brody Croyle would come in, throw a touchdown pass to Sammy Parker, and that would finish the game out. 17-7, Jaguars win. And Dennis Northcutt, 73 yards, the best game that he's had this year. And one of them was a 40-yarder, which he got cracked at the end of. He just got leveled, and he was able to hold on, so he is a good receiver. He did have a touchdown, and I guess you could see he is the biggest receiving threat on this Jacksonville Jaguars team, so something to look out for in fantasy. But what I want to talk about, Maurice Jones-Drew is back. 82 yards on the ground, a touchdown, and a long of 52, as I said. 51 yards for Fred Taylor. Greg Jones even had 14. But the touchdown came. David Girard having a good day, 20 for 27. He didn't throw any interceptions. That's key. And Damon Heward on the other side threw a pick, no touchdowns. And that is the difference. Reggie Nelson had the pick. Didn't do too much with it. They got a field goal. But, I mean, if you're going to win the games, you have to limit your mistakes. And you have to run the ball, play good defense, you know, complete passes when you have to, third downs, efficiency, all that good stuff. And clearly they didn't do it. So let's move on to the Indianapolis Colts and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. 33-14 the final score in Indianapolis. The Colts beat the Buccaneers. I mean, not too much of a surprise anyone here. Tony Dungy put together the cover 2 defense in Tampa Bay. So I'm sure that with Peyton Manning, he didn't have too much trouble breaking that defense down. 10-yard touchdown pass to Dallas Clark opened up the game. Kenton Keith, a 1-yard touchdown run. The extra point was blocked. Alex Smith would receive the only touchdown in the first half and the only touchdown in the second half for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. They scored 14 points. Both touchdowns went to the tight end, Alex Smith. He had a good day in fantasy, but it was all Colts. The touchdowns went to Kenton Keith, Dallas Clark, and Reggie Wayne. And field goals. Adam Vinatieri, he kicked 2 of them. He was 3 for 4 on extra points. One of them was blocked. But that's okay. 9 points for the veteran. And what can I say? Yeah, I mean, it's not too much of a surprise here. 253 through the air for Peyton. Peyton Manning was actually 10 for 11 in the first quarter, really driving down, getting the job done there. But it's nothing that we didn't expect, and it's nothing out of the ordinary for him. He did throw a pick, which is a bit of a surprise. It went to Jackson of the Tampa Bay defense, but Bucks got a good defense. Bruce Gronkowski came in. He threw 4 passes for Jeff Garcia, who had to step out for a moment, but nothing serious there. He came back, threw 2 touchdown passes. Gronkowski came in. You know, he threw his pick, and he got out. He threw it to Bethea, and that set up one of the touchdown passes, which went to Reggie Wayne. So, all in all, 33-14. I picked this game correctly, and I am a beast. Let's move on to the Denver Broncos and the San Diego Chargers. The Broncos host the Chargers in Denver, in Invesco Field at Mile High. And, well, I'm expecting that the Denver Broncos would come in, something to play for, and that they would host the Chargers and, you know, kind of put up some good points, and hopefully in the end they would come out victorious. And they scored 3 points in this game, and it's amazing. Chargers, on the other hand, they put up 41. Yes, Phillip Rivers, a 2-yard run. Brandon Seiler, a 23-yard fumble recovery, touchdown on the kickoff, negating a couple field goals in the second quarter. Third quarter, Antonio Gates, a 9-yard touchdown reception, and then Vincent Jackson, the 15-yard touchdown reception. And in the fourth quarter, Michael Turner, 74-yard run. I'm speechless. He just takes it left tackle, runs right down the sideline with 44 seconds left in the game. I mean, it's not like they were driving to score a touchdown and win the game, but he takes it down the left sideline, kind of pretty much untouched until he gets down around the 50, and then breaks the tackle, and he's gone. Peace. Holler back. He gets a block from Vincent Jackson downfield, and he led the team, obviously, with 147 yards on the ground, only 10 attempts, meaning that he averaged 14.7 yards per run. LT, on the other hand, 67 yards per run. I mean, what am I saying? 67 yards in all, and on 21 attempts, his long was 11. On the other side, Travis Henry was held to 65 yards on 16 attempts, his long of 15. Jay Cutler, 232 through the air, no touchdowns, and of course, 1 pick to Marlon McCree. On the other side, Phillip Rivers, 2 touchdowns, no picks for him. There were several fumbles in this game, and 3 of which were lost by the Denver Broncos. So, that was the difference there. I mean, everything was the difference there. They only put up 3 points. Champ Bailey couldn't really shut down Vincent Jackson like we normally see him do against everybody. And on the other side, Brandon Marshall was the only guy that really had a big effect on the game, 72 yards through the air for him. So, that is the final score, 41-3. I picked the Broncos and the Chiefs. Those were the only 2 games I had wrong. Let's move to the final afternoon game. Baltimore Ravens, San Francisco 49ers. This game in San Francisco. The Ravens looking to go 3-2, and the Niners looking to go 3-3. What would happen here? Well, in a battle of defenses, oh my lord, was this game a Napster. I was wrong when I picked whatever nap game I picked. That was wrong. Because the Ravens kicked 3 field goals. That's all the points they would score. And yes, they would win. with 3 field goals. Trent Dilfer, in the first half, he was 2 for 6, 8 yards. He had 1 completion to Frank Gore for 4 yards, 1 completion to Arnaz Battle for 4 yards, and that's it. In the first half, Frank Gore held to 52 yards. Willis McGahee had a field day, 88 yards on the ground, 48 yards through the air, which would, of course, give him 136 overall. Air McNair, 214 through the air on 43 attempts. This is the second week that we've seen him go over 40 attempts. Not too good for him. Trent Dilfer, 12 for 19, a touchdown and a pick. Receiving, Gilmore led the team with 42 yards. And, you know, all of these yards and all these stats that you're hearing, those all came in the second half. Because the San Francisco 49ers did absolutely nothing in the first half. All that happened was 2 Matt Stover field goals, and that was it. Joe Nedney tried, what was it, 54-yarder or something, but he missed it wide right. I knew he was going to miss it. I was hoping Ed Reed was back there to take it back, but I knew he was going to miss it. And what can Mike Nolan do? Andy Lee, what more can I say? Yeah, you might not have heard of him. That's because he's the punter, and he had a great day. I mean, the guy's a punter, and he averaged 48 yards per punt, but you have to see, he had 3 punts inside the 5, inside the 10. 2 of them landed at the 1, and that's ridiculous. This guy's a young punter, whether it is his 3rd or 4th year, and he might be, in 2 or 3 years, the best punter in the league. That's just my opinion, and from what I saw today. On the other side, Sam Cook punting as well, yeah, I mean, I gotta give a shout out to him. But nothing really in this game, very boring, and 9-7 the final score in San Francisco. I picked Baltimore to win, and I was dead on. So, that's that. Ravens win 9-7. It's, I'll tell you this, you didn't miss much, okay? Arnaz Battle got the only touchdown pass. It was a 23-yarder down the middle from Trent Dilfer. Niners fans, kind of bored at that game. It went down right down to the end. It was a close game, but there wasn't too much to see. So let's get to Sunday Night Football in Lambeau Field, where the Chicago Bears come in to face the Green Bay Packers. Bears looking for their second victory, and Packers looking to stay undefeated. They have the NFL's leading passer in Brett Favre and the career leader in touchdowns. What would happen? Well, 102 yards on the ground would give them a 17-7 lead at the half. Brett Favre throws 1 touchdown pass to Greg Jennings, and Deshaun Wayne gets 1 touchdown pass, a long of 44 in the first half. Cedric Benson's 10-yard run would be the only scoring Green Bay would allow in the first half. But now let's move to the third quarter, where the Bears decided to show up on defense, I must say. I mean, Brett Favre had 322 in the game, but 2 interceptions in the second half proved to be the game-winning difference there. Mason Crosby would kick a 37-yard field goal to give the Packers the only 3 points that they would score in the second half. It was all Bears. Robbie Gould, a 44-yarder. Then Greg Olsen, a 19-yard reception. Robbie Gould, another kick. Desmond Clark, a 34-yard reception, which gave Brian Greasy 214 through the air, 2 touchdowns, and a pick. And that was the difference. 27-20, the final score in Chicago. I got that game wrong. The only people that picked the Bears were Ricky C. and Ice Campbell, so props to them. As far as the defense goes, Brian Urlacher with a pick, McGowan with a pick, and Charles Tillman, 2 forced fumbles on receiver James Jones. Brett Favre did lead the league this week in passing, 322 through the air, but it wasn't enough. His team only scored 20 points in the game, only 3 second half points, and so the final score once again, Bears 27, Packers 20. So, all in all, I finished on top as usual, and all order has been restored. I am on top in the leaderboard. Me and Ice Campbell tied for first place in the pick'em at the bottom of the barrel. The coin flip at 38 and 37, pending the Monday night game. As for Codemaster Jones' crazy prediction, a punt return recovery by the losing team, to take it back to the house for a touchdown, that ended up being false. It didn't happen in any game, unless it happens in the Monday night game, which I will give him props for, but that hasn't happened yet. So, Jones, you have been false. So with that, I'd like to thank you for listening TWHOP, the Half Hour of Power with Beast Child. Tune in tomorrow for the Topics and Opinions show. It is coming at you. I have been Beast Child. You have been the beautiful audience. The NFL Week 5 review for October 7th. Thank you for listening. Peace out. Yeah, 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 that was it. that was it. In effect, control the steps, it's like this. Yeah, that was it. It's over. I'm sorry, but I'd like to thank you for listening to TWHOP, the half hour of power with Beast Child. This has been a Beast Child Media production for 2007. If you want to get in contact with the show, send your emails to beastchild09@gmail.com or visit the almighty website, thehalfhourofpower.googlepages.com. So with that, I gotta get out of here, but just remember, it's what may be fantasy football, but TWHOP keeping it real. Peace out! The Half Hour of Power.googlepages.com.